Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, it's Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a blog that popped up over there this morning, so swing on by, take a look at that, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, all right. Now, I've had some, you know, some free time, Dan, as I'm just kind of, you know, putzing around a little bit here today, and I got to, you know, watch enough shows to kind of get the gist of what's going on. And what I've come to realize, Dan, is that the media loves the NBA. You know, it according to them, you know, it's the greatest league in the world because it's, you know, it's so player friendly, and you know, they don't have the other problems the other league has. And I gotta tell you, I started to laugh at these morons when they were talking about what they were going to do. The NBA came out and mentioned that they're considering cutting down regular season games. Now, of course, the media went, you know, just head over heels for this, because this is what, you know, they all want. They don't want to have to cover 82 games or whatever. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. You know, you're actually going to get the owners to give up money, which is why it's never going to happen. But then these morons go on to mention that the NBA is considering a mid-season tournament and then play-in games for the playoffs. So they're going to eliminate regular season games and basically just replace them with these new things. So they'll still play the amount of games, but yet somehow they fooled the media into thinking this was the greatest idea since sliced bread. I don't get this at all, Dan. Can you explain it to me, maybe?
So wait, they would have more playoff games by cutting down the season?
No, they would have a mid-season tournament, and then they would have play-in games.
I don't even understand. Is that kind of like minor league baseball?
It's actually what the NCAA does now. You know how the tournament is now 68 teams for basketball, and we have four teams that play on, you know, we have two games on Tuesday and two games on Wednesday, so four teams can advance into the field of 64. So the NBA would basically be doing the same thing. Then they also talked about a tournament for the teams that don't make the playoffs, where the winner of that tournament would get the number one pick in the draft, because they believe that would stop tanking. So I'm listening to these guys talk about all their games they're going to add. But, you know, it was literally like a magician saying, hey, look at my left hand here. Look, my left hand's not doing anything while your right hand is doing all the work, because I'm willing to bet they would play the exact same number of games. But, yeah, it was it was the greatest invention, and I'm listening to them, and I'm like, does anybody proofread this, or do you pay attention to what you're reading? Because basically said they're going to take away regular season games and just turn them into tournament and play-in games. So they're really not shortening the regular season. They're just moving the games someplace else. And, I mean, how interested would you be, Dan, if there was a tournament in the middle of the NBA season? Would you watch it?
I mean, it kind of sounds stupid. I just don't understand the concept.
It's basically what the EuroLeague does in soccer. In the middle of the season, the regular season just halts, and they have a tournament. And then when that tournament is over, they go back to the regular season. And that's the extent. I don't know. And that's what I don't know what the NBA would be looking for. Would they be the mid-season champion? Or, you know, I mean, how many games are you playing? Are you playing a series? Is it just one-game elimination? You know, what does a team do when it's eliminated? Because it's just going to be sitting around. So how does it work out? I guess it's got to be round robin. Because, you know, you can't have a team sitting around for weeks waiting for a tournament to finish. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of holes in it. But, yeah, I got such a kick listening to, and it was three or four different shows I heard today. Just listening to how great the NBA was, and it's unbelievable that they're going to do this, and they're giving up regular season games, and here's what they're going to do. It's like, well, they're not giving up games. We're just calling them something else. So, you know, I mean, that would be like me telling you I stopped drinking soda because now I drink pop. You know. So, yeah, I was completely lost by it, and I was hoping somebody could straighten me out. I was hoping you'd be that guy.
Yeah, I don't understand the concept whatsoever. So does that mean they would eliminate the All-Star game?
You know, I guess it kind of seems like they would. Nobody really addressed that situation. Maybe they were listening to us yesterday, and they're going to move it to the end of the season or something, but yeah, I don't know. No, nobody said anything about it.
I mean, but what is a play-in game? What does that mean?
Basically, what it is it's if they're doing it anywhere close to like the NCAA does it. It would be like the 7th and 8th seed would play each other in a game to advance to play the number 1 seed. So, you know, instead of it being, you know, 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, and so on, so on, these two teams would have to play a game for the right to move along to play into the first round of the playoffs. Almost like a game 163. You know, you have a sudden death game. The winner goes into the wild card. The loser goes home.
So,
the next stop is Midlothian.
So, I mean, the worst two teams would fight for the right to lose in a tournament. In
basically.
The playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah, and that, you know, and that's how the NCAA does it. They take two teams that were borderline getting in, and then they play for a right to face a number 1 seed. So, obviously I would have to see it all hashed out before I really kind of would understand what they're doing and if that's how they're going to go about it. But yeah, I just didn't get all the hoopla out of the fact it was like everybody got so excited when they heard cutting down regular season games that they didn't even bother to listen or read the rest of the paragraph. so they would actually know what was going on. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay. Why am I the only one who's reading this way? Maybe it's just me. So. You know, I just didn't get it, didn't understand it. I'll be see if they actually do, if they, and this is something that apparently isn't going to happen for a few years. But you know, we'll have to see how it hashes out as time goes along.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would have to take a couple of years because no one understands it.
Well, you know, there's only about 8,000 interpretations too, so they would have to lay it out pretty clearly for everybody here. So, you know, and then while we're on, I don't know, stuff we normally don't talk about, this new one, Dan, here, I don't know if you saw this, I actually caught wind of this yesterday. Apparently, California has now passed a law stating that NCAA athletes can be paid for the use of their likeness. And now the interesting thing about this is if they are paid for that, it's an NCAA violation, and their school would actually be banned from competing in tournaments. So there is a chance here, Dan. I think this law goes into effect. I thought I saw 2023, so it's a ways down the road. But it could be interesting by the time this turns around that we could have NCAA tournaments without any California teams. This, again, plays into the fact of where the media just drives me nuts with, I think, their lack of understanding. I heard a guy say that every talented amateur athlete would flock to California to play because he or she would be getting paid for that. Dan, how much does this guy think these rights are going to pay? It's not like they're going to be making millions of dollars off this. So I don't know why this guy seemed to think everybody will go to California to play now.
I couldn't tell you that, but I mean, is this how you start the legislation of getting rid of the NCAA, which I'm a big proponent of?
I think this is how you go about it. The other thing I heard that I thought was quite humorous was there was an announcer going on and on and said, hey, well, if California can't be in their tournament, they'll just have their own tournament. Okay, Dan, now, you know, I'm not a gigantic college sports fan, but besides USC and UCLA, can you name another California college that anybody is going to tune in to watch or that is even known nationally?
I mean,
obviously, there's a couple of them out there, but none of them are nationally known like USC and UCLA. So it'd be like, oh, okay, great. California's got its own tournament. Whoopee.
Yeah, but it would be for Californians by Californians, so they'd all buy it and watch it.
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, yeah, the California, you know, people would probably be interested in it. But again, I mean, you know, you've got your two major schools and then a bunch of, you know, what you got Pepperdine, San Francisco. What is it? I think St. Mary's is in California. You know, they've had a couple, you know, NCAA appearances here and there in basketball, but you know, yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, thanks. I'll go watch this cornhole tournament or something that they got on, you know, the Ocho. And they actually do have those tournaments. I don't know if you ever heard of those. So,
No, well, they show curling on TV too. So, I mean, to me, I don't. It doesn't make a difference because I'm not watching it, regardless. College, California, Notre Dame, Harvard, Stanford, Alabama.
Oh, there you go. Stanford's in
college.
California. There you go. I can't believe I forgot them. So.
Yeah, I'm not watching any of them anyway. So.
Yeah. Hey, well, trust me, if you saw 5 minutes of cornhole, you would think curling is an excitement, okay? So I just find it hard that a game that they started playing in, like, tailgates and stuff is now actually considered a sport where you can win tens of thousands of dollars. That's just frightening to me. But, hey, welcome to America. So,
video gamers are trying to be called athletes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I think kind of, you know, going back to your first point there, yeah, if, you know, more states adopt this, you know, they're, you know, the NCAA can't ban everybody. So, you know, I mean, if, you know, if California's out, if a couple more states, you know, I mean, especially if a state like Texas jumped in, you know, that would carry a little more weight. California doesn't really have, you know, too much when it comes to power in and the NCAA. But, you know, a name like Texas still carries some weight. You know, if North Carolina was to get in with Duke and North Carolina there, you know, states like that would really carry some weight. California is just kind of like, yeah, great. I mean, when was the last time you guys won anything major, being football or basketball? You know, I know obviously, you know, the baseball teams have done decently, and I believe some of the women's athletics have done well. I know the Stanford's women basketball team has been very good for a while now, but, you know, those sports aren't big money makers. I mean, Dan, how much in reality is a Stanford woman going to make off of her right? You know, I mean, do they even make a game? Do they even make a women's basketball game for NCAA? I believe they make a man's, but do they make a
woman's? No, I don't know, but I'm sure she put her name on the back of a jersey.
Yeah, you would get that. But again, how many have you seen? You know, what's she getting off a jersey? You know, a couple percent at the most.
Yeah, but you can't buy a college jersey with the player's name on the back of it.
Wait, do college players have names on the back of their jerseys?
When they play, but you cannot buy one of your favorite college player.
Yeah, well, that was because of that court case. So.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, you know, like I said, even so, I mean, how many, you know, I mean, Zion Williamson was the most popular basketball player last year. If he could have, how many jerseys would he have sold? You know, what does he make, you know, what's he going to make off it? You know, you're getting 1% off a sale, you're getting 2% off a sale. You know, I mean, guys are acting like these guys are going to start making millions of dollars, and I just don't think it's going to work that well.
No, but it might give us a spending cash when they're in school.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's always possible, at least for the top guys or girls. I mean, like I said, I don't know how many they're going to sell, but, you know, the other thing, and I know these guys don't like to admit this, and, you know, this is everybody's dirty little secret, but, you know, how many guys are going to give up the money they're making now at the school they're at to go to California just because they can get these naming rights? You know, it's not going to be that significant of a bump to where everybody goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to go play in California. You know, it's not going to happen. I mean, we all know that the good payers are paid under the table. You know, it's no big deal anymore. It's just something you have to learn to accept. These guys aren't going anywhere. You know, you think Alabama's going to lose players to California? No, it's not going to happen. You know, I don't even think the players from California will all stay in California with the offers they can get, you know, at other places. I mean, there's only so many spots. I mean, you only carry, what, 10, 12, maybe 15 guys on a basketball team. They're only going to want to play at good programs. Once those good programs fill up, you know, they're not going to play at some minor, you know, some minor school because it's in California. You know, they're going to go to the next big program that offers them a scholarship. So I just think, you know, again, it was one of those things. I think they made a bigger deal out of this than it really is. The only interesting thing would be if other states could get on board and how the NCAA tries to handle it, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, me personally, I like the move because we are starting to look at, you know, looking towards the elimination of the NCAA, which is, aside from holding regulations or whatever, which I think the states can uphold, they're just a moneymaker. They make millions upon millions of dollars. And I don't
know,
also students. And I think that's completely wrong. And I don't understand why it's taken this long for everyone to kind of get their heads out of the clouds and realize that the NCAA is nothing but a sham.
Well, remember, though, when the NCAA got started, the original trade-off was your athletic ability for a college education. You know, that was the original idea way back. Obviously, it changed quite a bit now. And you know, you get television injected, so you get big money there. And, you know, kids are turning pro earlier than ever before. So, you know, originally it starts off as a good idea. But you know how it is. I mean, through the years, just about every good idea gets bastardized at some point in time. And I think that's just the point the NCAA has reached, hasn't it?
Pretty much.
So, you know, because, you know, even back then, I mean, I don't know how many kids were actually attending classes, but, you know, I can pretty much guarantee you that any freshman who just entered this NBA draft didn't stay in school once the basketball season ended. So, you know, the minute their season ended, they went and started getting ready for the draft. That was it for class. You know, if they even went to class then, you know, it would be interesting, you know, if somebody could ever figure out how many classes these players actually attended and, you know, how it kind of worked out. But I don't think we'll ever see anything like that. You know, even though they did have that one former North Carolina basketball player who admitted that, you know, he basically had grades given to him and he didn't have to go to any classes. And I think the NCAA gave North Carolina like a slap on the wrist. I don't think they were suspended from any tournaments or, you know, any of that other kind of stuff. It was just like, oh well. Like, wait, we don't believe this guy because he's the only guy who came out? Or, you know, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why you know, like you said, are people going to go running to play college, whatever, sports in California? No.
The next stop
will be Henry Park, 80th Avenue. Still going to be making more money going to Alabama or wherever the hell they go.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just – that's what part of the thing. I just thought it was really, really humorous because I saw a guy yesterday making a giant deal out of it, like California would just rule the world, you know, when it came to college sports. And I'm like, I don't think that's how it's going to go down. But – okay, good luck. You know, we'll see how that works out. You know, just one of those fun things. But, hey, at least people are, you know, getting excited about stuff. It would be great if they could, you know, get excited about stuff that actually seemed like it could happen or would actually matter. But, you know, you take what you can get, right? So... you know, just one of those fun things. But, you know, since it is Wednesday, we had quite a few early games. I'll give you the finals here real quick in baseball. The White Sox beat the Red Sox 8-7. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays by the score 8-7. Cleveland beat Kansas City 5-3. San Diego beat Baltimore 10-5. The Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 8-2. And the Rockies got a win over the Giants 6-3. So there's all your early games wrapped up and rolling along for the day. So you're all set heading into tonight. And I don't know, is there you know, anything on the schedule you like tonight, Dan? Was there anything that jumped out at you? Are you excited to see Dallas Keuchel at Wrigley Field?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I was a little bit more excited to see Chris Sale.
So I thought maybe you were excited to see your guy Jake Odorizzi pitch against the Rays. You know, we did have a couple of guys headed to IL. Tim Anderson's headed to IL for the White Sox. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. I caught the highlight of it. They played in weather I'm not sure if they should have been playing in, and he ended up turning his ankle, so he's on the IL. But the big one today, Dan, not a very long of being healthy for Giancarlo Stanton. He's headed back to the injury list with what he's describing as a sprained right knee. He hurt it sliding into third base. You know, he went in head first and hurt himself, Dan. So I'm assuming if pitchers can't hit, Dan, and we need a DH in every league, does that mean we need somebody to run for the guys that are we want to see play? So this doesn't happen to anybody?
That's a big possibility, isn't it?
So, you know, I was just kind of wondering, because I think there is a little league rule where you can actually you know, you could put a runner in, you know, but he doesn't take that guy's place. He's just a runner.
Which, I mean, is hard enough because little league teams usually have only 11 kids on the team.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe 13, but, you know, two of them didn't show up.
Yeah. Two of them are on vacation. In high school, there's actually a rule where you could use a designated hitter, and it doesn't have to be for the pitcher. So, like, you can have a kid who's a great shortstop that can't hit that can go out and play defense, and then every time he comes up, somebody else hits for him. So that's just kind of odd. But, yeah, so far, Dan Stanton has played 9 games for the Yankees. I guess it's a good thing they haven't dealt your guy Clint Frazier yet, huh?
Well, didn't I kind of throw that out there as a little bit of a joke, because you're like, what are they going to do? And I even said, well, someone's bound to get hurt again, aren't they?
Yeah, it didn't take long. I mean, he was back. I think he had a day off, so it wasn't.
I mean, doesn't it come to the point with him where they might as well just take their sweet time getting him healthy? Plays there at least for a playoff season, you know, so come September.
Yeah, you do have to wonder at this point if they have to, you know, manage, treat him like a pitcher and start managing his innings so he'll be ready for the playoffs. The last couple of years he's been pretty healthy. He played in 158 games for the Yankees last year and then 159 before his last year with the Marlins. But, yeah, I mean, just no luck this year. I mean, you know, we'll see. They haven't said if he's just going to miss the 10 days or, you know, if it's going to be longer. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, whoa, okay, he's, you know, like the slide didn't look that bad to me. You know, the next thing they're like, oh, yeah, he's hurt. I'm like, oh, boy, okay. So.
Well, you know, and my kind of thinking of it is also not just this season, but long term. I mean, I don't think you want to go, you know, Washington Nationals and just shut them down at a certain point, even if he is healthy. But, I mean, how many more years do they have left? They have at least 7 years left to have, you know, with him. So, you know, in the interest of fairness or best interest of the team and the player and the fans, you know, maybe it's best to take it easy with him until he's 100%. But, you know, each injury can either be multiplied on top of, you know, something else, or, you know, like you said, I didn't see the slide itself, but depending on how he slid, it could be a whole new injury to a different body part. So, I mean, to me, you're the Yankees, you're doing pretty damn good without him, with him on the IL and 25 other guys. So I really don't see the need to rush him back. As much as you want a guy like Giancarlo on your roster playing every day, I think if this one is the way they're playing, I mean, I think it's easy to say better safe than sorry, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought. I mean, obviously, he just came back, so you would have to think he was healthy.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you know, you just kind of, you know, you kind of wonder. And I mean, you know, this guy has had, you know, some injury history. I mean, he had the 1 year where he only played 74 games, and then the year after that, he only played 119. So, you know, here and there, he does run into kind of these rough where he's dinged up. So, we'll have to see if maybe this is just the year for that. So, we'll have to kind of wait how it goes. You know, I never got a chance to ask you. I know we're coming down to the final phase here. Have you looked at this new All-Star voting, the way they're doing it? I mean, do you like this?
To be honest, I don't even care. So, no, I mean, I get my emails from every team I've logged into their website to buy tickets. So, and I even get a few texts today telling me to go and vote. But I don't know. I just kind of over the whole All-Star voting thing. I don't know. I really lost complete interest in it.
Yeah, you know, like I'm not sure if this is an improvement, you know, when it comes to what they were trying to do. You know, like they limited, you know, the way they did it is they had the regular vote, and then they kept the top three guys. So now you're voting for the, you know, one of the top three guys. So more or less, it's like almost like you're voting twice.
So it's like a midseason tournament, huh?
Yes. So,
you know, I mean, I guess it gives everyone a better shot at it than Major League Baseball just putting up, you know, what was it, one or two guys from each team or whatever it was. But I don't know. Just, it is what it is. You know, because I just feel like with the, you know, you can vote 37 times or whatever, how many limit it is, vote every day or, you know, how exciting is that really?
Yeah, I don't. I honestly don't. I don't. You know, like it used to be cool when I was younger to vote all the time, but you know, when I was, kind of over it. So,
I mean, isn't it really just for the kids? Isn't that what the Home Run Derby is really about? It's for the kids. The All-Star game for the kids. It's really not for adults.
No, you know, you would hope, you know, you wonder, but you know, like I said, you know, you just gotta kind of. Kind of see how that that works out for everybody. But yeah, I guess it's, you know, they always kind of, you know, compared to the NBA, they always kind of harp on, you know, baseball not trying anything new. So here you go, they're trying something new.
Yeah, but I mean, All-Star, NBA, MLB, NHL, all the way through the Pro Bowl. I mean, what is the real value in it? Oh, you know, you got all the stars in one place at one time. I've watched it long enough to see if, you know, big deal. It's for the kids. You know, because if you think about it, you're a little kid and you're playing, you know, baseball with a bunch of your friends. Unless you've got, you know, 20 kids together and they're all diehard Cub fans, you know, there's, most likely you're going to have a group of kids with such diverse likes and dislikes that, you know, one kid's going to want to be Stanton. The other kid's going to pretend he's Rizzo at first and, you know, Manny Machado at third or whatever. So, I don't know. I think that's why I always feel like they put too much weight behind, you know, he was a six-time All-Star. I mean, that's cool. He did it, but, you know, I think it should be based more on the accolades. But then again, I don't even care about the All-Star games. Although I do end up watching the baseball one, so I do get suckered for that one.
Yeah, well, you know, the baseball one is better than, you know, like I mentioned yesterday, it's the only one that's actually a semblance of what the real game looks like. So, you know, otherwise, you know, the nothing else is anywhere close to it. And, you know, I mean, you know, the object of it is for the fans to vote for the players that they want to see. You know, it's not necessarily the best players. And I think that's where some people get a little butt hurt about it, is it's a fan vote for the players the fans want to see. And, you know, a lot of times that's why we get, you know, a large amount of Yankees or a large amount of Cubs. You know, like I noticed in the final ballot, I was actually looking at it today, Albert Almora, Jason Hayward, and Kyle Schwarber are all in the running for outfield. Which means they finished. I think you had to finish in the top nine to move into the next bracket. So, out of all the National League outfielders that you could have voted for, Almora, Hayward, and Schwarber finished in the top nine, or maybe it was the top 12. But one of the two, you know. Either way, I don't know if I have any of those guys in that area, but obviously, you know, Chicago is a big metropolitan city and there's a lot of Cub fans and there's a lot of votes to be had. And, you know, these guys got them enough to move on. I think, wasn't it the one year the Cubs had seven starters, Dan? Wasn't that a couple years ago? So, oh, I may have lost Dan to break time. So we might not get Dan back for a little bit, but yeah, you know, I remember the Cubs having just multiple starters, and it's fan voting, you know, kind of the way it works out. And I mean, you know, the only way I kind of look at it is if you don't want to see this guy in the game, well, then go vote for your guys. You know, like I thought American League second base was kind of weird. I saw this featured on the MLB Network because it's Jose Altuve, who you would expect to be there. But then he's up against DJ LeMahieu and Tommy La Stella. And, you know, and the interesting thing is, out of the three, with the injuries he's had, Altuve may be having the worst year. So, it's kind of humorous when you start comparing them. I mean, I want to pull up some numbers here and see, but I know like LaStella is in double digits for home runs. And, you know, LeMahieu, who everybody kind of chuckled when the Yankees signed him, with all the injuries they've had, I can just imagine the hole they would be in without him. So, it's a pretty, even though you wouldn't think it would be, it's pretty interesting that these are the three guys that are, that are sitting there in the running for this, this one all-star position. And obviously, probably one of the other ones will make it here, but here you go. Right now, LeMahieu is leading all second basemen with a .336 average. All right. I don't even know if, technically Altuve doesn't even have another bat to qualify. Let me open this up a little bit so I can find where Altuve ended up. Here's LaStella. He's at 300 with 16 home runs, which I believe is high for second baseman. Let me check that. Yeah, he's one ahead of Brandon Lau and three ahead of Jonathan Scope. And let me find Altuve. Here you go. Yeah, Altuve's been limited to 45 games. He does have 10 home runs, but he's only hitting .251. So, and then it looks like LaStella may also be second in RBIs here. Actually, LeMahieu is number one at 54. I didn't know that. And LaStella is third. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting that while Altuve is the big name, and you would just kind of think, oh, well, yeah, okay, Altuve deserves to be the starting second baseman. Does he? So, it's kind of interesting there. And, they do still have the deal where you get one guy from every team, I believe. So, we'll see whoever kind of, ends up being, those picks. But, yeah, I think it might be better than what they had. But I don't know if it's, I don't think it solves anybody's problem, because I'm sure there'll still be a lot of complaining, as it is there. So, but, we'll see. I think they're announcing them. I think they announce the starters tomorrow, right after Dan and I get done with the podcast. So there you go. But good news, hopefully, for Cub fans. They announced today that Craig Kimbrel has completed his minor league assignment. And the funny thing is they're making a big deal out of the fact that he is en route to Wrigley Field right now. Joe Madden was even quoted as saying he's on his way prior to tonight's game. So humorously, though, even with all this talk about him getting there, he's not going to be added to the 25-man roster until tomorrow. So even if he shows up, he's not going to be in tonight's game. I just thought it was quite funny with the way they made it seem like, oh yes, he's on his way and he's coming to save the game tonight. And then of course, Joe Madden's going to jump in on that because those are the kind of things Joe Madden does. But I got a big kick out of it. And, they have to make a corresponding move. So once they figure out, what the corresponding move is there, we'll get to see Kimbrel officially tomorrow, if they need him into the game. If not, he'll be in uniform. So we'll see if that helps the Cubs bullpen situation. It's been a bit up and down all season. And, even with that, they were still hanging on. Did they end up tied after losing last night in the division, or were they still hanging on to that one game lead? Let me check it here. Yeah, there's still one game up on the Brewers and 2.5 games up on the Cardinals. So we'll see. Obviously, they're playing, Atlanta in just a little bit here. And it is Dallas Keuchel for the Braves against Yu Darvish, for the Cubs. So you got to think the Braves may be a slight favorite tonight with Darvish pitching, because I think there's some little league teams that would be favored against him. But that's just kind of how things go. So we'll see how things work out there tonight. But yeah, just the general fun stuff there. I was trying to think if there was any other, any other baseball stuff that jumped out while I was floating around today. I know I got really hung up listening to all that goofy basketball stuff. In case you don't know, and I'm guessing Dan and I may cover a little bit more of it tomorrow. The Red Sox and the Yankees are headed to London this weekend. I believe it's Saturday and Sunday games. So you can look for that. It'll be interesting. I know if I remember right, the Saturday game is the Fox game, and I want to say it's going to start at 12:30. I don't know if that's Eastern time or Central time, but it's scheduled to start at 12:30. I guess instead of putzing around and guessing here, I could actually look up a schedule if my my internet would like to cooperate and maybe get us a little better time for that instead of just kind of fumbling around. But yeah, I thought I saw the Sunday start time is like 10 a.m. So that's going to be a tad different than what we normally see. Right? How far along am I here? Today's still Wednesday, right? We're still doing the podcast on Wednesday. All right, let's take a look here and see what they have listed for Saturday. Yeah, we got 12:10 on Fox is the Saturday time, and then Sunday's actually 9 a.m. Central. So it's going to be, baseball early game for everybody here, but for them, I don't know what time is London on, Dan, that the game's starting at 9 o'clock here. What time will it be in London?
Right about that time.
It'll be game time, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of the whole playing in London?
It's fine. I'm kind of down the middle. I don't really care if they play in London, but it doesn't bother me that they are. So I'm okay with it. I get that they're trying to grow the game and show the game off and, all that stuff. Maybe I'll be a little more interested next year when it's Cubs Cardinals in London. But,
yeah.
It's okay. The thing I want to see is, I want to see how they set the field up. Because, obviously, if they're going over there, they're going to want it to be home run fest. So I'm wondering if we're going to get a short fork somewhere or how they're going to set that all up.
But to be honest, it doesn't look that big, so it will be interesting. But from us, it's 6 hours difference, so it's midnight. So it's what you figure 9. It's about a 3 o'clock start there.
Yeah, that would be.
Did
three,
I do my math
so.
Wrong? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I just threw that out there. I didn't know if I was doing my math wrong. But, and like you said, it's Yankees, Red Sox. So, my biggest concern is now I'll have to definitely remember Friday night and Saturday night to get my lineups in. So,
yeah,
I'll have to do that. That's the biggest, even though I only have Rafael Devers as a third baseman, so he doesn't really come out of the lineup, even when he's not playing. And with Chris Sale starting tonight, I don't know if he's going to be – well, you never know. Maybe I'll just put him in the starting rotation just in case he has to go pitch a couple innings just because. So, like you said, it's a pretty cool concept. They're trying to grow the game. But, it's not like – I think after NFL Europe, I don't think MLB is going to be doing no MLB Europe. And I really don't see, them being able to expand and put a team over there. So I think it's kind of a cool concept. The thing that always you know, obviously that always is not concerning to me, but always kind of raises my eyebrows, though, Big Jack. And like you always say, cash flows everything around me. So who had to give up their gates and how do the proceeds work? Yeah, that's my biggest question.
Well, you know, being that it's only a two-game series, my guess is each team gave up one. And I'm sure they're going to make plenty of money off of this because you know both games are going to be sellouts.
Oh, yeah.
So.
But, you know, the other thing is, what I did find interesting is they're not making this no small feat, though, because I believe I've been seeing updates, you know, through various media outlets and bloggers and whatnot for almost the last month of the progress on the field. So this is, you know, not a small thing for just 2 days.
Oh, no, yeah, no, they seem to be doing things right. I mean, you know, they're, you know, getting everything ready, and, you know, it's going to be a big deal. You know, like I said, I'm just kind of interested to see if, you know, if they're, you know, if they set it up to where it's just homer after homer and, you know, pop-ups are getting out. Or, you know, if we're going to get to actually see some baseball.
Well, I mean, they're not going to be playing at the Polo Grounds, so.
Well, you never know. So, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I, you know, if I turned it on and, you know, 275 feet down one of the lines.
No, I mean, you'd have to go double check the rule books. Maybe I'll try to do that tomorrow morning, or I probably forget. But there is specific regulations on post to post, and so, but I forget the minimum.
Yeah, well, in today's game, Dan, I think it's 100 feet.
Yeah.
Well,
no, they would never change that. They only just change the baseball.
Just
to rewind a little bit, I never get butthurt on who gets put into the All-Star game. And my point on the accolades more so is, you know, is behind the – to me, it just – because you got won a popularity vote, I don't know. I feel like the – when they tie contractual stuff into it, you know, bonuses based on that, you know, sometimes it's like, well, I don't know. I guess it works, but to me it just doesn't seem like – to me, if you're going to do an incentive-based contract, it should be based on incentives. And to me, getting voted on,
Yeah, but, you know, there's always going to – you know, there's going to be those people out there tomorrow after – you know, after the announcement is made, and I'm sure it'll come up Friday once, you know, you and I do the podcast about who got snubbed and who should be there. And, you know,
yeah.
Like you said, it's a popularity contest. It's not voted on about, you know, who is the best. We're not doing any of that. It has absolutely nothing
yeah.
to do with it. It's a fan vote for players fans want to see. You
yeah,
know, I mean, if you go vote, you can vote for anybody. It's who you think deserves to be there.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, like, when you give it a month, I forget, the Hall of Fame stuff comes up at the end of July, or I can't remember exactly. But whenever you kind of get into that talk and start bringing stuff up, you know, I find it interesting that that's probably one of the only stats you don't bring up when you talk about guys and when you just strictly throw stats out at me. You know, like, do you think this guy should be, you know, in the Hall of Fame? You know, I wonder if that's how the writers and voters kind of go with that too, where that's like one of those way at the bottom kind of things that, okay, well, you know, that might be a tiebreaker, so that might give him a bump over someone else. But it doesn't necessarily mean he was a Hall of Famer. Are you kind of in that boat, too? I kind of put you in that boat.
Yeah, well, you know, if you think about it, you know, what again, like I said, it's a, you know, it's a fan vote. So you're rewarded for being the most popular?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. So, you know, I'm like looking at it here, it looks like Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and Stan Musial all played in 24 All-Star games. You know, obviously they're great players, so they should be voted onto the All-Star team. I mean, does that have anything to do whatsoever with them being good?
No.
You know, I mean, as you kind of start to look here, you know, you got Derek Jeter pops up at 14. He would be the first guy I question. Would Derek Jeter have made 14 All-Star teams had he not been a Yankee?
Probably not. Well, you know, you throw that out there. Where's a guy like Troy Tulowitzki? You know, kind of guys who were stuck.
He was hurt.
Stuck in a – yeah, well – but you know what I mean? He was down in Colorado. If he were a Yankee that entire time, would he have been voted to the All-Star team plus more times?
Oh yeah. You know, like I was saying, when you were gone, you know, if you look at the way the All-Stars go, you know, the big cities can really dominate. I mean, you know, when you go through the Yankees, I think if I remember right, Gary Sanchez, Luke Voit, DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, and Gio Urshela are all in the final ballot. And I know Aaron Judge is for outfielders. I don't know about the other two. So there, you know, there's a possibility of six Yankees making the team. And well, you know, New York's a big city. There's a lot of Yankee fans. You know, I mentioned while you were gone also, Almora, Hayward, and Schwarber are all in the finals for outfield in the National League. Well, Chicago's a big city. Of course, they're going to get votes. You know,
yeah.
Boston, you know, those guys got votes in Boston. I mean, that's just, you know, it's the way it worked out. What year was it, now that you're back, that the Cubs had a seventh starter?
Ooh, wasn't that 16?
Yeah, was that 15 or 16 or 17 or something? Yeah, they had like seven starters. Yeah, so, you know, if your fans come out and your fans vote, you know, your players make it, and again, that's the object behind it, is fans vote for the players they want to see, so why complain about it? You know, I mean, I get it, it sucks that there are going to be guys having years that you're not going to see, but it's one game.
Yeah, well, and I don't complain about who gets put on and who doesn't. I don't, like I said, I'm not that invested in the All-Star game. But, you know, like you mentioned, I don't remember if it was 15 or 16, but almost the entire starting roster for the American League was the Royals.
Right. You know, and again, it's just a matter of, you know, like everybody keeps saying that James McCann of the White Sox deserves to be on the team. Okay, well, he's in the final three. Will there be enough White Sox fans out there to vote for him?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question now, is can, you know, like they had Yasmani Grandal was on Intentional Talk. He's one of the finalists. So, you know, they had the guys out there, you know, vote Yaz and all that stuff for him. You know, it's up to the fan bases now. So get out there and vote, and we'll find out after we're off the air tomorrow. All right, well, Dan and I are leaving, but last time for the week, you know, we talked about on the always want to know the deal. SportsCamerDeal.com, the blog on this morning. Put a link on it, head on over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Ask SportsCamerDeal. Of course, if we don't get it, I'll have to do it as well. As always, big thanks if you came to the live. But remember, anytime you see the podcast, you're not live, come on over to tunein.com. You can listen when you want.
SportsCamerDeal.com.